Welcome to Apply the Exercise Science to Strength and Conditioning Training. Facts, not tales, with strength coach Fernando Rosette. Welcome to episode 3. Today we're going to talk about how your metabolism works after you train. Are you trying to lose weight or to burn fat? You want to hear this episode. We are going to talk about EPOC, excess post-exercise oxygen consumption. Here we go. Let's start by defining metabolism. Metabolism is a series of chemical reactions that take place in the human body and are needed for the transformation of energy. So we bring energy from the outside in the form of food, and that energy is going to be transformed for different purposes in the human body, including the activity in the brain, that obviously is the organ that basically runs the show in the human body. So it consumes a lot of energy. And then other mechanisms such as new cell creation, the growth of cells, as well as movement, obviously, that consumes a lot of energy, and many other things. But technically, metabolism is that process of transformation of energy. Secondly, let's talk about energy. So there is a daily energetic cost that is basically defined by three different components. One is the resting metabolic rate. Second, food thermal effect. And the energetic cost that is basically defined by the amount of physical activity that you have throughout the day. The resting metabolic rate, or RMR, is defined by your body composition, your body weight, and obviously there's a genetic factor as well. But that's simply the amount of calories that you are consuming just by being. So, and it you could be literally just sitting the whole day and you're already burning calories, right? So the amount of calories that you burn just by being is defined as RMR. The second factor is the food thermal effect, or food thermic effect. And that's basically the increase on the metabolic rate after you eat a meal. And the third factor is simply the cost, the energetic cost that is related to physical activity. So depending on how active you are during the day is obviously how many calories you're going to be burning during those activities, as well as after the activities, that is, while you are recovering from that physical activity. So those are the factors involved in metabolism or energy expenditure. It's time to get to the juicy part of the episode. Let's start talking about EPOC, excessive post-exercise oxygen consumption. So basically, after exercise, you are going to be recovering, and while you recover, you are still consuming energy. However, the intensity of the exercise is going to define how much energy you require to recover after the exercise bout. So that is, in other words, we consume certain amount of oxygen before exercise, and after exercise, if the intensity of the exercise is high enough, after exercise, we will be consuming more oxygen than before exercise, if that makes sense. So basically, let's remember, oxygen, the amount of oxygen that we consume is defined by the total volume of oxygen, which is the VO2 max. VO2 max is the capacity that we have to consume oxygen, and that is defined, it has a genetic factor, but it also has basically, it's influenced by our training status, how physically active have we been. In other words, how well trained is our cardiovascular system, how much stress we can put in our system that makes that system work harder and makes that system be more capable of consuming that oxygen. So that's what the VO2 max is. Now, depending on the VO2 max is how much oxygen we consume at rest. Second, depending on how hard we train, is not only how much oxygen we will consume during training, but how much oxygen we will be consuming after training. And that's where the money is when it comes to fat loss. But why? Why is it that we're consuming more oxygen after a high-intensity training session? Basically, what's happening is that as we recover, there are a series of activities that the human body has to go through, such as basically the accumulation of lactate is going to now help restore glycogen storages. As a reminder, glycogen is the sugar that we use for energy. Now, there's obviously an increased heart rate at that point that is obviously a consequence of the heart exercise and the many other activities that the body is going through. Respiration is going to be higher at a higher rate. And then a series of other mechanisms that take place at cellular level, such as the retake of oxygen on myoglobin, and in muscles, we get more hemoglobin in the blood. There is also an elevated activity in the brain with more neurotransmitters active and basically adrenaline. We have other hormones. There is a cascade of events also in the brain that are going to send the signals to release all these hormones in the bloodstream, such as cortisol, such as insulin for the control of sugar again, and obviously thyroid is going to be more active as there's more growth hormone in the bloodstream, and so on and so forth. There are so many things happening after training, well, during training and after training, that are going to influence the amount of energy that is consumed after exercise. And I insist this takes place after a bout of high-intensity exercise in comparison to a low-intensity one. And we will talk now about those details. Epoch depends on the intensity of the exercise, as we mentioned, the duration, and the mode of the exercise. So during a study, we got Greer and collaborators that compared the effect of exercise mode and intensity on EPOC. And they isolated the caloric expenditure and the duration of the exercise, meaning they made sure that while comparing the three types of exercise, the volunteers burned the same amount of calories and the exercise had the same duration regardless of the type of exercise. Each participant did three different sessions of the different types of exercise. Each session was separated by 7 days. The first modality of training was resistance training. The second one was steady state aerobic exercise. And the third one was high intensity interval training. The scientists measure the resting metabolic rate after exercise, and they found that the resistance training group and the high intensity group sustain a higher resting metabolic rate after training in comparison to the steady state group. So that just proves again that high intensity exercise is going to be having a much greater effect on the metabolism during exercise, not only during exercise, but after exercise, because obviously what happens after exercise is based on the type of stress that you went through during exercise. And in this case, the cool thing is that during exercise, all three exercise modalities burn the same amount of calories. So why, if they burn the same amount of calories, the metabolism was more altered by the resistance training group and the high intensity group? Again, because the type of exercise, the requirements of that exercise, the type of stress that exercise caused in many systems are going to cause more damage. So there's more repair going on that is going to translate on more adaptations. There's going to be much more happening in the body, basically, when there's high intensity training and compared to just steady state. Next, I have to tell you about one of my heroes, the Japanese Dr. Izumi Tabata. Dr. Tabata, who is literally the father of high intensity interval training, did a study in 1996. And this study compared two different groups of male athletes in their mid-20s. The first group was pedaling on a bike at moderate intensity, so that was 70% capacity for 1 hour. So 70% capacity for 1 hour. Second group, where they had the Tabata protocol, the famous Tabata or infamous Tabata protocol, on a bike as well, going maximum effort for 20 seconds with 10 seconds of rest. So that was work done in only 4 minutes. They were completing 8 sets total. And he compared blood profile before and after the study. He looked at body composition as well and he found how the Tabata group had better results on blood profile when it came to fat content or triglycerides, sugar content, as well as cholesterol. And also, well, you know, the good thing or the cool thing to think about here is what happened with EPOC, right? EPOC was something that was not being looked at back then. So when we go back in time and you know, we look at studies like this, we question, what if, right? And that's the cool thing about science. Even though that was not measured then, now we have an idea of why the results were the way they were. Even though we cannot jump into a conclusion, obviously, but we could pretty much explain or define how things could happen. And please don't let me forget about leptin. Leptin is a hormone that is produced by fat tissue. So this hormone regulates satiety, meaning regulates hunger, and it increases during high intensity exercise. So basically, if you have if you train hard, leptin goes up and then hunger goes down after training. Now, if this is sustainable, meaning if you are training on a regular basis, that could have a good effect on satiety as well. That could be potentially beneficial if you're trying to lose weight or burn fat. Now, leptin also has a direct influence on fat tissue, increasing thermogenesis, meaning increases the temperature. Also, leptin increases the resting metabolic rate. So it has that effect as well. So in other words, if you're working out hard or training at high intensity levels, you're going to have a cascade of beneficial inputs into the system that are going to, you know, literally help you burn more calories, burn more fat, and be just healthier. Thanks again for listening. If you enjoyed this episode, please remember to give it a 5-star and subscribe to the podcast. I will be adding many more episodes, and each one is going to have a different subject. Hopefully, I can be of help. Hopefully, this information is useful for you. And keep moving forward. Again, this was Strength Coach Fernando Rosette. I'll be back next week.